Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Showtime. How y'all feel?
If you got your popcorn ready.
On three. One, two, three.
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH.
Hour number two here on Sports Daily. And if it's a Wednesday, it's Brian Haney Day. Play-by-play voice of the Kansas Jayhawks. KU in the midst of a real rarity. First time in 8 years the Jayhawk basketball team has lost three in a row after a tough one at the hands of the Oklahoma Sooners most recently. TCU coming up tomorrow. Brian, what is it about? We saw OU, they're no joke, beat Texas last night. What is it about OU? How would you describe them? They've still got Brady Manick, still got Austin Reeves, although Reeves didn't do much against KU until the very end. But how would you describe the Oklahoma basketball team?
Well, they have a great coach for starters. And, You know, it seems like while the all-time record in Lloyd Noble is 20-20, it seems like at least since I've been on the call more times than that, they get us down there. And, of course, he was the coach that instituted Poke a Doke a few years ago in Doke's sophomore season. He always seems to come up with a good plan. And this year he just did a heck of a job adding some pieces around Manick and Reed. It's, I think Big 12 fans are finding out are way better than we realized in the preseason. I mean, Harmon was excellent against us. I know he just had 13 last night, but he really was the catalyst versus Kansas with 22, including four threes. And Harkless is another guy, your reigning Big 12 newcomer of the week, that's been so good defensively and on the glass. And you look at it, and you know, Mo Gibson, he's a transfer out of North Texas. They've mixed in three really key transfers in Reeves, obviously from Wichita State, as you guys well know, Harkless, and then Gibson, and then he's added in some nice, you know, true freshman recruits as well. But he just keeps tinkering each year, and when you expect them to take a step back after some of the personnel they lost from a year ago, they don't, and they're every bit as good, if not better. And so, you know, it's a tough pill to swallow as Kansas fans to have three straight losses. But if you go back and look at it, all three of these are tournament teams with legitimate talent, and while they aren't true road games this year with not many fans in the stands, all three were away from home. And so when you put it in those terms, it's a little bit easier to stomach, although certainly, you know, Kansas fans are expecting to see their Hawks get back on the winning track. And I would tell folks to be patient. You still have the best coach in the conference by a long shot. You still have a very talented team. And if you look at our schedule, it really opens up from here. And that's not to be braggadocious or overly confident, but hey, man, take a look at our first five games versus our next 15. It does open up quite a bit from here.
And I think Bill really nailed it in the post game after OU. I mean, I think he said the truth, but he also said exactly what maybe his players or fans wanted to hear. He said, the storybook season is done, but we still have to create a storybook ending, and that's still in play. I just think his perspective after what has to be a tough pill for him to swallow, he's not used to losing three in a row, but I thought he won the post-game presser for sure.
He won that, and he won Hawk Talk.
He sure did.
He's been so good this year on Hawk Talk. I mean, I think part of it is it's just me and him in an empty Allen Fieldhouse press room, and he's not getting, you know, mobbed for interviews at every commercial break, or mobbed for autographs, that is. He doesn't have the TVs on that are, you know, showing games that he'd probably rather be watching. And so he's just been dialed in. And if you've been listening this season here on KFH, these Hawk Talks have been as good as they've ever been, with just him being really insightful, telling some amazing stories, opening up about certain topics in depth that really there's no coach I've ever worked with at any of my stops that's half as good as him. And
didn't he mix in a Bon Jovi story the other night?
Yeah, he was. Who were we talking about? He was talking about somebody that was a big Bon Jovi fan. I'll think of it here in a second. But he was just vintage Bill Self in terms of. I mean, he went for the first 14 minutes of the show. Normally, we take a break at 08. Mm. He went through the first 14 minutes on one question, just kind of giving his state of the union, talking about all things from stuff that fans and even he himself didn't realize that these kids are going through during the pandemic in terms of isolation and yeah. only getting the chance to be around each other, not making excuses at all, but really laying it out there. And then he talked about leadership. He talked about, you know, some of the things that he's learning about leading in the midst of these times, some of the adjustments he's having to make, you know, based on the psychology of this very unique set of circumstances. So can you really berate these guys and beat them down and pump a bunch of negativity into the start of a practice day based on where they're at if they don't have the normal every other year in the world's history build up of walking out of that venue, walking up on campus, feeling the buzz of a campus that's excited about you, feeling the camaraderie of your classmates, the roar of the crowd coming out the tunnel? If you're not getting any of those positive endorphins, so to speak, and all you're getting is an iron fist and being reminded of what you're not doing well, you know, there's not a healthy balance there. And so he talked about that. He talked about tinkering with the lineup. He gave his Super Bowl prediction. He talked about motivational quotes, because Mitch Lightfoot's grandmother wrote in with a very inspirational quote that was very good. And he shared some of the ones that he has hanging on his wall. And so it was just a really awesome episode of him opening up about a lot of stuff. And man, we blew through commercial breaks and just kind of turned him loose and let him fly. And it was good stuff. So I encourage you to go back and listen. If you missed it live on KFH, you can obviously check out the replay on KUAthletics.com.
And Shane, we can now check off the term endorphins.
Yep.
From the list. It's
put
been
that,
used now
put that
on
in
Sports
Haney's
Daily.
Grab bag, endorphins.
Absolutely. Okay, Brian, here's my deal. I love coaching psychology. And as it relates to a guy like Bill Self, I like it even better because he's adaptable. He's proven that over the years. He's a guy that continues to learn. He's not a guy, as you said, that deals with an iron fist. He's a guy that continues to work and rework teams. So bear with me on this. From that standpoint, I think it's kind of, he's in an interesting position right now. He's in a position where, okay, we've lost three straight games, albeit in difficult situations. Where are we? Who are we? And what kind of moving around of players and changing of chemistry and tinkering needs to be done to find what we know is the end result, which is going to be winning a lot of basketball games. Isn't that kind of a, even if you have lost three, the result is you're kind of in a coaching oasis, aren't you?
Yeah, no doubt. You get a chance to really evaluate what you have, break it down on a fundamental level, and look at all these unique pieces, and then start putting the pieces back together again. And it might look different when you do, but honestly, when you're at this state of, and let's be clear, it's three losses to three really good teams. It's not right. Like they've lost five in a row to some bad teams. But when you're at this state of unique adversity that you haven't had in almost a decade, the guys probably have had their egos broken down a bit. Mm-hmm. They're more receptive and open-minded to whatever constructive criticism you have. And you yourself are willing to break down some previous ideals and maybe come back with a different look. He mentioned that on Monday, and I didn't talk to him yesterday. We're going to talk to him again at 12:30 today for his weekly press conference. But he said on Monday he tinkered with lineups. He put starters on each 5-on-5 squad, and he said one team was really fun to watch and the other wasn't because they were getting their tails kicked, and there were starters on each team. And he said he'd continue to tinker throughout the week, and it was too early on Monday to ask him, you know which five was fun to watch because it could change over the next couple of practice days. But the point is, he was shuffling the deck a decent amount if he put starters on both sides, because we've had the same starting lineup since game two on. And so, going back to Fort Myers, and I think that, we could see more DeJuan Harris out there along with Marcus Garrett. It takes another shooter off the floor if you do that. Does Mitch Lightfoot find his way into the starting lineup? We'll just have to see, but I'm sure he'll get more questions about that here in a few hours, and we'll get an update there. But to your point, Bruce, it really does give you a chance to go back to square one in some ways, tinker with all kinds of things, and have a receptive, open-minded group of players that understand, hey, there's a reason why we got to do this. If you try to make changes when you've won 10 in a row, guys are going to be butthurt and not happy. But they'll understand right now, for the sake of the greater good, we might have to make things look a little bit different in the interim. Yeah. And if that means you're coming off the bench, you got to swallow your pride and your ego for a little bit and understand that you're probably still going to get just as many minutes. It's just going to look different. And I think that's where Coach Self's coming from right now. And in some regards, I think that excites him. I know that when he lost all those starters in 2008 after the national championship team, he mentioned that next season, a season that they found a way to win the league, by the way, and of course they still had Sharon and Cole, which are two Jersey retirees, so it's not like the cupboard was bare, but
right.
He enjoyed a blank canvas to paint on and having to come at it with all new colors, all new paints, because he lost all these guys to the NBA. I think for a coach that can be invigorating and rejuvenating. You certainly don't want to do it mid-season on a three-game losing skid, but it does, to use your term, oasis, give him a chance to kind of go back to square one and start to paint a different looking picture a little bit, which for a guy 18 years deep at one school and three decades plus deep overall, I think that's a fresh challenge he embraces.
Brian Haney, play-by-play voices, Jayhawks. It's an interesting dynamic when you're talking about starting. And I can't remember if it was us, Brian, talking about this, or if it was just Bruce and I or whatever. But when it comes to high school, starting is super important. When it comes to college, not as much. Because as we all know now, that it's more important who's out there at the end than who's out there at the beginning. But I think to your point of what Bill's talking about, needing a boost of energy and maybe a change up lineup wise, the energy that you get at the beginning of the game maybe saves you in the last 5 minutes of the game. If it's, a stale starting five like you've had since Fort Myers, and you change it up a little bit and you guys coming off the bench with a little more energy, that could be the difference in the game, because probably what five you're going to have at the end of the game. So not all bad, I guess, when you talk about changing up the starting lineup and get an infusion of energy at the beginning of the game, right?
Yeah, and so often we as fans and even me in media, we associate energy at the start of the game to getting off to a hot start and making shots and building up a lead. Just as important in that equation of building up a lead is limiting shots on the other end and shutting them down. And Self was quick to point out on that great Hawk Talk episode the other night that as much as we scorched the Nets out the gate, instead of 16-12 at the first time out, it should have been 16-4, and that we gave them, for the most part, 8 uncontested points that he was just beside himself about, that we could have those kind of defensive breakdowns. And so for him, a fast start has as much to do with guys that bring energy on the other end. He would much rather take pride in taking away what the other team does well as opposed to going out there and outscoring somebody. You know that. I mean, that's Bill Self 101. And I think that there's certain players on this team that can embody that mindset, but collectively they've not had that. And he went as far as saying on Saturday that they really only had one guy that could guard the ball that day, and that was Marcus Garrett, and nobody else could guard the ball. I think that was, him in the moment talking about one isolated game. He's got better defenders than that over overarching perspective, but on one particular Saturday, he only had one guy that could guard the ball. He's getting them to buy in this week to the notion that to start faster, to bring that energy that Shane's speaking about, it means as much on the opposite end of the floor as it does when we have the ball. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that I would look for Kansas in these first 4 minutes versus TCU on Thursday night. Maybe you're forcing Coach Dixon to take a timeout, or maybe it's the under 16 and it's something like, 14-2, 12-4, something like that, where they've just completely stifled them defensively. And that to me will be the energy out the gate that Coach is talking about.
All right. You touched upon the schedule, Brian, and you're absolutely right. As you look down the schedule, there's a lot of wins and a lot of feel good and a lot of opportunity for this team to kind of re-coalesce, if that's even a term. I guess I just made it one. But specifically Thursday, TCU. What do you want to see? What do you want? What do you want to see with your own eyes with this basketball team coming off of three losses? Give me a sense for what that 40 minutes needs to look like.
Well, if it could look like the 40 minutes we had in Fort Worth earlier, you'd take that. I mean, that was our most convincing, sure, just puff your chest out, here we come type performance, 93-64. I mean, they had it going from deep early on with three-pointers falling left and right. They completely took away Kevin Samuel in the post. Zero rebounds and zero blocks for a big man that had led the conference in both coming in. David McCormick looked dominant with 20 and 8. You know, I referenced the threes that were falling for Oach. And you had a kid from just up the road in Denton, Jalen Wilson, who had a big performance on that night too, filling up a lot of categories, 16, 8, and 6. Jalen's been a little bit up and down since then. And he was hot the first 5 minutes versus Oklahoma, but wasn't on the floor in key stretches of others. I'd love to see him bounce back against the school his father played for. I'd love to see David get it going again in a matchup that the first time around, he looked like one of the best bigs in the league. But like we said, it could look different in that opening game combination, and that could lead to a different set of rotations, and the minutes could come in different shapes and forms, so who knows. But I would tell you, to answer your question pretty simply, Bruce, just make it look like it did the first time, and Jayhawk fans would feel like all is well in the world, because they went down there, and you might recall that was Bill Self's third largest conference road margin of victory, the 29 points. And so that was a historically great performance the first time. I don't know if they win by 30 this time, but hey, win by 20, win wire to wire, hold TCU to a similar number of, low 60s, upper 50s, and get some momentum rolling for Saturday, because that's a really good number 18 ranked Tennessee team you're going to face in Knoxville. And while that one doesn't mean nearly as much as these conference games, as you just alluded to, we have a chance to start stringing some wins together here. And, the Tennessee game, if we were to rattle off five or six in a row, that would be our biggest win in that stretch. And so you'd like to be able to say, in the streak that turned the season around, we had at least one top 25 win in there. And so that's why I think a 2-0 week this week is important. And we've fallen far enough in the rankings down to 15 and 18 respectively. Let's not go any farther. Let's continue to be proud that we're the blue blood that's still ranked this year, with Duke and Kentucky and Carolina, sure, struggling in that regard. And let's start building our ascent back upward, because to me, that's what February is going to include. When you look at the opportunity in front of us, who we get to play at home versus on the road, and who we've yet to play twice in this conference, then we're going to get to play four games against in the next few weeks. I think that all of those things will help this Kansas schedule, resume, ranking, all of the above, start to look a little bit better.
Re-coalesce, verb.
There.
It is a word. To coalesce again or anew.
Yeah.
That is a word. Brian? Your thoughts? Parting shot?
Man, you were giving me props for using endorphins. That's a pretty common term. I didn't know anything about recoalescing, but I always learn something with you
there
guys.
You go.
I appreciate it. That's why I come on each week.
Likewise.
We all learn from one another. That's what it's about, man.
Yes, we're all getting smarter with Brian Haney.
Exactly.
6 o'clock tomorrow night. The coverage starts right after the drive right here on KFH. KU tries to get back on track against TCU. How long has it been since TCU's played a game, Brian? They've been on pause a little bit with Jamie Dixon and whatnot. You got that at your fingertips? How long has it been for them?
I can pull it up here real fast. It had been, I want to say, 12 days.
Yeah.
Going back now. We possibly could have played on Tuesday. All they did was push it back 24 hours ultimately, or 48 hours ultimately. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't just Coach Dixon. Obviously, there were players affected too. And so this was the right call. You still get it in. And it gets us ready for quick turnarounds that are going to happen later when we have to play Iowa State on a Thursday, Saturday. And really, it's no different than a Saturday, Monday on a big Monday, which so often is the case for Kansas. So I think this will be fine. And certainly they'll be chomping at the bit from a TCU perspective. But so too are our guys, because I guarantee you, there was not a more inspired, practice. And that doesn't necessarily mean that Coach Self was, screaming and yelling at the guys. It means they sat down and had a real open discussion and a heart-to-heart quality meeting on Monday, and then hit the practice floor with the intensity and focus of a team that's ready to turn the tide. And so I think if I'm TCU, I'm super concerned that we're facing Kansas on the heels of three losses and as dialed in and focused of a group as KU will have had all season.
Yep. All right, 6 o'clock tomorrow, KU-TCU coverage begins with Brian Haney, Greg Gurley. Tell Greg the Wichita Clown said hello and have a great call tomorrow night.
Have a good one, Brian.
Absolutely, will do. Always a pleasure, guys. And to answer your question, I guess the last time they played was the 12th of January versus Oklahoma.
Days, yeah.
So it'll be 16 days, not 12. So
yeah.
It should be fun. Thanks a lot, fellas.
All right, Brian. Have a
great
call.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Haney, play-by-play voice of the Kansas Jayhawks. All right, we need to pivot because the Wichita State baseball schedule has been released, and a guy that is as big an influence on it as anybody is the director of ops, and that is former player, former assistant coach, and former head coach, and now director of ops, Lauren Hibbs will join us. Scooter will tell us how tough it is to put a schedule together in the pandemic, where his hands tied, what's it like normally. Where's Dixie State located? We will cover all those things when we come back with Lauren Hibbs, Director of Ops from Wichita State Baseball. The schedule is out. We'll talk about it next.